everybody. Welcome to the Humble Threads Podcast. I'm one of your spooky and ghoulish hosts, David Graves.
And I'm that other spooky guy, Michael Hart. Welcome to episode 22, everybody. As always, gang, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to leave us a rating and written review on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps us out and helps this podcast reach new listeners.
All right, Mike, you know what time it is. Let's get humble.
Yeah, let's go. What's going on in the world of Graves?
Guys, we can finally say it. 22 episodes in. You've been here since episode one of my struggle. 22 episodes. You really think about the timeline of how long that is and the bi-weekly and everything else like that. It's been a long time. I've been struggling, but I finally got the job, guys. The positive manifestation, all that. Talking to the universe, it was mine. I get to work with one of our good friends. I will not mention any names or job names or anything else like that, so y'all can't find me, which is okay, but I got the job. Finally have something a little stable, and I feel very valued there. I had a one-on-one with my boss today, and she seems very happy to have me there. And to me, it's something I kind of enjoy, and I think it's a little bit easier. So it's not something that's too difficult, but it's difficult enough for me to learn and get interest in. But I can definitely see myself being there for a while. They gave me a big old Mac computer. I have to put it on my other desk because it's so big. But man, guys, it feels good to finally be out of that hole once I get this first big boy paycheck. I cannot wait. I am very, very happy. Thank you to all of you who are giving me the positive vibes, either praying for me, saying stuff to me, you know, giving me positive affirmations, all of that. Thank you. Your crystals, if you put them in for me, whatever you did. But that's what's been going on. So I am very, 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 very happy, especially because one day I get to tell my son, man, there was a rough time. But guess what, man? I ain't give up. Kept pushing. But on top of that, me and Mike will probably both talk about this. We went to the Renaissance Fair, and holy crap, was there a lot of drinking. But Mike, what was your favorite takeaway from the Renaissance Fair?
Oh man, I'm a big fan of like cosplay. Like I haven't indulged in cosplay a lot in like myself in mm-hmm. through life, but you know, it's always so fun to be around other people who just love to exist within a fandom of some kind. And so seeing the homemade costumes, the bought costumes, the mix and match costumes of whether they were there to in their Renaissance gear or they were experiencing the theme of the week, which was Oktoberfest. So we saw some lederhosen, some women in the dirndls. But we went full on Renaissance when we went. You know, I dressed up like a knight. I think my wife was a woodland huntress. We had a priest with us. I think we had a queen, we had a gypsy, a couple poppers, you know.
Everything. It was a fun time. You know, definitely what Mike said, getting lost in something, you know, getting a little bit out of your realm of real life and seeing everybody who's enjoying everything. You know, I've never seen any bad things really happening at cons or fairs. It seems like everyone's generally happy. They're getting in the mood of whatever this is. And, you know, just having that positivity around you, it's always very fun. They had a lot of interesting food. Food was all right. I didn't get to try any ice cream. Mike got ice cream. Was ice cream good?
It was just Hershey's ice cream. So like it wasn't like hand churned ice cream or something like that. It was just Hershey's. But it was good. I think I had like blueberry cheesecake and a waffle cone and it was delicious.
Interesting.
I thought like, you know, I could go vanilla, I could go chocolate, I could get something, you know, it's basic, but I was like, I was like, blueberry cheesecake, I'll try it. And it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. It was very good.
Yeah, we had a lot of different stuff. There was a lot of different drinks. I tried some mead and some sangria, and that's what took me out of here. Hangover was a little crazy after my nap. But other than that, it was pretty fun, guys. We definitely had a lot of fun with that. The week before, I went to Irish Weekend. I usually always go down with my friend CJ and his family. I grew up with him, and you know, his family pretty much views me and my friends as like their other sons. It was pretty fun, but it's kind of interesting as you get older. You kind of see, you know, when you're younger, a lot of things excite you and a lot of things make you want to go there and have fun and everything else like that. And as we got older, me and a couple of my friends were talking. We were like, yeah, maybe next time, you know, we should get like an Airbnb or, you know, go try and save up more money so that way we can go to different bars. We only stayed at one bar the whole night, so it wasn't too fun for us, but it kind of just goes to show, like, as we get older, it's, you know, we need to start doing different things because it's not always going to be fun. Like, when you're a kid, you love hugs, which is those cartons of juice, but you drink one now, you might have some, like, a heart attack because there's so much sugar in it. So it was kind of like that. So we kind of, you know, finished it, but it was a fun time for me because I got to celebrate getting the job. But guys, man, y'all did it. Street Vision has been back for about a month, I would say, and I put a set out. I didn't know where it was going to go or how good it was going to do. We had 20 plus sales pretty much, and we sold out. I only put a couple on there. I didn't want to put too much on there because, you know, certain things with when you design your clothes, depending on how much money you put out, it could drain certain things. But I recouped mine back, and it pays for the website, and it paid for more things that we're going to be doing in the future. So thank you. It is amazing that you guys even did that. That some stuff will be out soon, but I'm not rushing myself. I was going to do a Halloween shirt, but I can't rush that design. We'll save that for next year. It's always going to be there. Street Vision ain't going nowhere. I'll tell you that right now. But Mike,
yo,
what's going on in the mind of Mike?
Yeah. I want to retouch the Ren Faire again. we've been playing like an MMORPG that we're going to be getting into a little bit later, but, our buddy Billy, you know, we had this joke, and it's like, all right, so what's our quest when we get there, right? The quest was to get beer and to get a turkey leg. And, while not everybody indulged in the turkey leg, we all certainly had beers at many different points during the day. Most of us had two different beers or cups of something in our hands at the same time, double fisting drinks, just because, you know, it's there. Everything at the Ren Faire is expensive, mm-hmm. and you just expect it, and you're like, you know what, I might as well be drinking if it is. So,
yeah.
It was a really nice day. It wasn't too hot. I was definitely wearing too much, and I would have liked to take some of that garb off.
Yep.
But it was good. You know, we had a very fun time. I was actually walking through the main road inside the Renaissance Fair, and some guy saw me having a sword, and he was like, sir, like, I, you know, like, give me a duel or whatever. And I was like, man, I'm tired and like a little drunk, but and I looked back, and he's like, come on. And so I was like, all right, fine. So I gave this dude like a sword fight in the middle of the street, nearly hit somebody as they were walking past. That's the Ren Faire for you. Jesus. You know, the boys, and some of the girls ended up throwing axes, throwing knives. David, by the way, like sunk three into the board, like as if it was like he was shooting those knives. Like he knew what he was doing. Like, I don't know, David, have you ever thrown knives before, but it looked like you had some experience behind that. Everyone else was struggling pretty bad, but yeah. So Ren Faire was a great time. I don't know if I'd go back next year, but I think I would want to go back like more frequently than I have in the past.
Yeah.
You know, maybe actually plan it out on which weekends you would want to go, because every like other week is like a different event. Mm-hmm. I know they do a pretty cool like Halloween event, which would have been, I guess, this weekend coming up. And I think the following as well throughout the end of October, but either way, Ren Faire, great time. We went to the PA Ren Faire. But hey, this weekend coming up to next week for me is going to be a very nice time. Friday, my dad's taking me out for, a golfing outing. It's kind of like what we do we do it occasionally, but specifically we always do it, the weekend or the week prior to my birthday, because I am turning 31 on Sunday, October 10th. So, that is, exciting, as well as, we'll probably be going out for dinner with my family as well on that Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. But Saturday prior to the birthday is, as we've been mentioning on the podcast prior, it is Too Many Games video game convention in our area. And so I am super excited to be going to that. I still need to buy my tickets, but I'm probably going to do that either tomorrow morning or tonight. Mm-hmm. But either way, really excited to just kind of see the vendors, see anybody cosplaying, just having like a nice day out. And of course this coming week, I just YOLO'd some PTO and took the entire week for myself, because on Tuesday is my wedding anniversary. It'll be my second wedding anniversary with my lovely wife Carolyn, so looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll be doing some nice dining out somewhere fun and stuff like that. But that's about it for in terms of like what I've been going on and doing for the last 2 weeks. One thing that we really want to touch on, though, before we dive any further is, you know, shout out to everybody who's been at least looking or buying our merch that we posted this past week when we were celebrating 500 listens. We did have some orders pushed through for some T-shirts. We do have a T-shirt and we have a hoodie available currently. I'm sure at some point we'll put out some more fun stuff, maybe some more, maybe like a logo tee or graphic tee of some kind that'll fit some things. I know David really likes the catchphrase "the big game," so maybe by the time the big game comes back around, we'll have something available for that. But yeah, shout out to everyone grabbing that. If you haven't seen it yet, go hit up our Twitter at @PodHumble. There's a link probably one or two posts down. Or you just head on over to teespring.com and type in Humble Threads into your search, and then it should pop up. And of course, it'll always be in the show notes.
It'll always be there. And thank you guys. The more you support us, the more fun things we can do for you guys as far as, you know, clothes, events, etc. Like Mike said, we might have some stuff that are like quotes or anything else like that. Who knows? They might only be up for a limited time. So get them while you can. And then, you know, they might go into the Humble Vault. You know, just think of it that way. I'm also excited for Too Many Games. Hopefully I can go. Me and Mike have been talking. I really do want to go and enjoy ourselves because it looks like a fun. There might be a lot of vendors out there. Once again, I've said it before, if you are going this weekend, I've said it before on the podcast, feel free to come on up to us, say hello, shake a hand, take a photo. Maybe not shake a hand, I don't know, depending on where you stand on the COVID line. Give us a fist bump. You can take a picture with us. We'd be happy to do that. And tag us in it, you know, on Twitter and anywhere else you post it. So,
absolutely. And with all that being said, we're going to hit our first ad break and we'll be right back with some of our main topics. What's up, everybody? They are calling it the World of Warcraft Final Fantasy Online killer, possibly. Amazon coming out hot with probably one of the greatest games of the year for PC. PC only. Sorry, console fam.
Sorry.
But this, we are talking New World, the MMORPG from Amazon Games. There's so many things to say, but first and foremost, David, let's just hear what you got to say, man. Let's get your two cents on the table. How have you been liking New World? And hey, maybe there's some things you don't like. Let's hear about that too.
Yeah, I mean, I got to get situated in my chair because honestly, this is the guy. If right now, I want to say it's the game of the year, and I don't think there's a hot contender that could ever compete with it as of right now. There's a lot of different games coming out as far as Halo. The day before, if that even comes out, the release date is 2021 around holiday time. Who knows? But wow. For a studio who's been making little games here and there and games that have flown under the radar that no one can really remember or talk about, they came out swinging. New World is a very, very, very fun game. For me, I think it's fun as far as, you know, they really make you feel involved with your friends and in the world. Like, you can do everything from harvesting to skinning whatever animal you kill, as long as you have the, you know, the skill for it or skill level, or fishing. But there's literally endless possibilities of things you can do. If you just want to go out there and harvest things, come back, make armor, and sell it on the market, you can sell it to people. It literally has everything for everyone. As like Mike said, there's too much to say. I can't even form into words what I want to list as far as things that are great, but I will put in the campaign, like the storylines, the side quests, etc. I really like the fact that when you have a party and you all are fighting something and you're in the area, gain XP for it. The storyline is also very well. They involve the dungeons in the storyline. So as long as you stay on track, you will always be able to do those dungeons. Instead of doing the main missions, leveling up, then going to do dungeons after that as like a side quest or something. So they still make you feel involved in them. And you can continuously do them as long as you have a key, which I think is also very cool because you have to grind for that. So main thing is definitely that, and like I said, the friend aspect, getting in a group, finding random stuff, destroying it. There's things to do as far as missions, corrupted areas, which are just little, you know, mini boss battles that pop up, or you can hunt down like rare pretty much animals, like the boss animal of that area, like the glutton boar, I think is one of them. There's just so much, guys. I don't know what to say, but I'm gonna leave it at this. Well, me and Mike will probably keep going back and forth, but we will tell you what we are maining as far as weapons, and I'll tell you right now. At first I did spear and then the gun, but now I'm feeling the great axe and the healing staff is what I've been maining with the gun, and I still have a little bit of the spear, but those are the two main things I've been using while I'm venturing out on my own. Mike. Lay it on me, man. What do you think? It's been about a week
that it dropped. Yeah. So I come from a World of Warcraft background. I haven't played World of Warcraft in a while, but I played like an ungodly, like antisocial amount back in like high school and early college. And so, like, having that kind of, like, mentality of, like, what an MMORPG is, you know, you're gonna do the quests that make you go skin 12 boars, or you're gonna have to go pick, like 100 blueberries or something, or, you know, or whatever. There's a lot of, like, fetching quests. Mm-hmm. They also call this, like, games of service, so you're always just doing something for somebody else that seemingly can't do it for themselves.
Yep.
And so, like, although that's, like, the core set, like, sense of what the game is, that's how you grind your levels, whether you are working your crafts, knocking trees down, hammering rocks apart, and then and crafting something new, whether you're using that item or you're selling that item in the marketplace, there's something really special about this whole game because every area has its own, like settlement city, right? Like, its main hub city. And within that hub city, it can be completely owned by a faction team or I forget exactly a company,
yep,
right? So similar to other RPGs, there are three available factions. I think it's the Coven, the Marauders, and Syndicate. Mm-hmm. We are hashtag Team Syndicate, and the Purple Guys. On our server, currently, Coven is really kind of owning a lot of like the major cities. It's like the yellowy-orange-colored faction. They were, I believe, the first to take any space. I think they were called the Holy Bezosian Empire or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the whole thing is, you know, Jeff Bezos and all that. But I think that's so cool. So, like, and unlike... you know, a situation where if a company owns an area, like owns like a settlement city, a rival faction can come in and say, you know what, we're going to go to war. We're going to do a bunch of missions in this zone to build up reputation so that we can actually challenge the company that owns this land. Mm-hmm. Because when you own a land, you can set taxes in that city. Mm-hmm. And so there are some areas that have like tyrannical, overlords and have high taxes in their city, and you find that like almost nobody goes to those cities because they don't want to waste their money or their, you know, hard-earned gold crafting in those cities, where other cities have very cheap taxes, but obviously those taxes actually just get sent to the company that owns that area's bank, and then they can just build and do whatever they want. But these PvP, like the PvP side of this game is wild. If you haven't seen it, go YouTube it. Go type in like New World War PvP actual gameplay, and they're like, you know, 50-on-50 just massacres. Mm-hmm. It's crazy cool. I mean, I used to play PvP in World of Warcraft, and that honestly wasn't that exciting. It was either like capture zone or just kill the other team. It's important to note that this game, unlike World of Warcraft, is all hack and slash. So while you do have some abilities that are on timers, almost always you're just you're spamming your mouse key button and using your ability or your weapon to attack the people. So it really feels like you're in the fight. You're not just sitting there like standing still like you do in World of Warcraft, more or less, and then just waiting for your cooldown on an auto target. Yep. There is no auto targeting, so you actually have to like keep on the person or the thing you're fighting, mm-hmm. which is really rad. The dungeons in this game are super, super well put together. They have some pretty awesome mechanics that aren't terribly hard, but it really does matter that you go in with a strong healer, a strong tank, and strong DPS, because while while I would believe that if you were at a much, if you were at like level cap and you went to go do the first dungeon at level cap, you could probably get through it with minimal effort because of the level of the dungeon, because the dungeons don't scale. There's just different dungeons per like level caps. And, but right now, like we're in like the meat of like the leveling that would go for that first dungeon. It's still a challenge. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some really awesome items dropping from it. The only thing that I would say this game desperately needs, because it does have fast travel, so because the map is huge, so the fast travel helps, but it does cost a certain in-game currency that you only get from either mining or completing quests. The game needs mounts. Yeah. Like you need to be able to traverse the land faster than just your running speed. You know, I don't remember. I mean, I'm pretty sure when World of Warcraft launched back in Vanilla WoW days, they at least had the generic base mounts that you could get that would increase your speed by a little bit of a percentage. Mm-hmm. Something like that would be very valuable in this game. I don't think it would be that hard for them to code in, because it would just be a different it would be kind of like an emote animation, but yeah, just you could move in it. Mm-hmm. So like because the game does have emotes. One thing that was, again, is super interesting to note is this game, at least so far, is absolutely not pay to win. Mm-hmm. It's a $40 flat rate, and then you're in. And the only kind of real life IRL cash you can spend on this game afterwards is strictly for cosmetics that don't add any bonuses. They just look cool. It's pretty easy to see who's got cosmetics when they walk past. They got this, you know, this super cool armor and all of that. And then to end it where Dave ended it, as far as weapons I am using, I started the game heavily using sword and shield and bow. Then I moved from bow to musket, and then I moved from sword to rapier. But I ended up not, the rapier is really good because it creates like a bleed effect and does damage over time. But overall, each hit is very low damage. Mm-hmm. And I needed something that was going to do a little bit more. So I've really, really been enjoying the hatchet.
Yeah.
I hear really good things about it. And I've been really vibing on that. So lately, right now, I'm doing hatchet and hammer. The big Warhammer, which has been super cool. So, you know, we are just scratching the surface of this game. I'm, I think, level 26, last I checked.
And I'm 26, I think, too. So.
Right. So we're kind of in the same... the grind. We got other friends that are kind of like speed running the game. Dear that God. are already like halfway to full cap. Yeah. But you know, everyone's going to play these kind of games differently. And I think the beauty of being able to play a game however you want, like you could start this game today and you could be like, you know what? I don't want to level at all. I just want to go fishing. Mm-hmm. You can do the missions as much as you need to be able to make a fishing rod. And then you can just say, you know what? Forget the game. I'm just becoming a fishing master.
Yep.
And because this game is, for anyone out there who played RuneScape, it's very RuneScape-y in terms of everything you do has a skill that can level. So it's chopping trees, it's mining, it's fishing, it's harvesting, it's gathering things, it's skinning things, it's crafting things. There's so many things you can do. You can really get lost in this game.
Yeah.
We could probably make a whole podcast about New World, honestly, because of how much there is to talk about. But with that being said, we're going to move on. David's been keeping up with the most recent Marvel addition to the Disneyverse, more or less.
Yeah.
Talk to us, David.
Yeah, we finally got the wrap up for What If. I know a lot of people have been watching, a lot of people haven't been watching it. Once again, this isn't like a spoilery podcast. There's little things here and there that I can mention. You've seen the commercials. If you haven't, come on now. It's Disney Plus. They're taking over the world. But my overall review, I think I'll give it like a 6 out of 10. 6 out of 10. It wasn't anything like, you know, crazy that would blow your mind away. It's just a lot of what if stories. It was pretty good. They pretty much brought back Ultron, which I think a lot of people were upset the way Age of Ultron ended, but they redeemed him a little bit, just a little bit. They kind of helped out as far as making him actually a very big threat, which he is in the comics. But overall, it was pretty good. If you got a chance, I would say catch it. You know, now that it's all out, you can watch it all together. Maybe it'll be better that way. I still think binging has put a big damper on our brains as far as us liking something, because we have to watch it, you know, week by week. So you got to wait. But all in all, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Mike, I don't know if you've caught any of it, but
I mean, I have not been able to see it yet. I've been waiting for it, kind of what you said. I've been waiting to be able to binge it, mm-hmm. have it all available to me to watch them just show after show after show. I mean, hey, it's all scenarios. What if they happened,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So like, I'm not entirely sure if any of it's canon. I don't think it is in terms. But I mean, the multiverse is here, so there's literally anything is possible. You know, I saw some things that, like, obviously if it happened that way, a lot of storylines would have gone wildly different.
Yeah.
Specifically in the Infinity Wars. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, as far as, like, just, like, a commentary of the Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think the art choice is interesting. It's kind of, like, cel-shaded. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I think it's interesting. I think it would have cost them so much money if they were to do this live action.
Oh yeah,
because of all the actors they would have needed. Mm-hmm. And so, as far as being able to tell these stories, I think the animated move was the best case scenario for them. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it worked 100%, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me also is animation. And for some reason, Marvel, they always make great shows. They always make great cartoons, but everyone loves animation, then they go completely left with a lot of the things they do. I don't know if they want to separate themselves from the past or whatever it is. It's video games, it's movies, it's comics, it's TV shows. One of my favorite video games, you guys probably have heard me talk about it, was Marvel vs. Capcom 2. The art style was amazing. It looked like literally they came out of a comic book. Then they came out with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and it was completely different. It was really weird, like chunky, like it looked like anime kind of fighting-ish, like really chunky and weird. And I feel like they could have went back to like an old school kind of cartoonish, you know, type of animation as far as like Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man TV show, the original X-Men TV show, like, you know, a revamped version of that, and didn't have to do this like 3D-ish, you know, art style. I think that kind of took away from it. But some of the stories, I think some of the storylines, some of the people weren't really too happy about them, especially like Party Thor. That episode was kind of lackluster. The Chadwick Boseman one was very good. The Black Panther one, What If Black Panther Became Star-Lord? That one was pretty good. But that also has some strings behind it because, you know, that was the last thing he actually did, like the very last thing he did as far as the TV show. I'm trying to think if there were some other ones that were okay. The one where a lot of the Avengers, like there's ones where a lot of people die and everything else like that, but it was okay. It was all right. But Mike brought it to my attention. I also read it too, that in a lot of the episodes, Tony doesn't really make it. And that's kind of like a Nexus thing, which is kind of cool that they're making that, like they're anchoring certain things in the side media that they're making, kind of like that. But guys, if you got a chance, I would check it out. I wouldn't expect it to blow your mind. But talking about something that might blow your mind, the Star Wars mini episodes, man. Let me tell you something. We haven't had any Star Wars media in a while, ever since they failed with that trilogy. Teach his own, if you like the trilogy or not. I was kind of in between them. But it was a lot of anime style. And anime is very, it's been popular, but it's getting even more popular now as time goes on. But there's a lot of different art styles, there's a lot of different storylines, and they said in the beginning this isn't canon, these are just like Elseworld stories pretty much, which is kind of cool. The very first episode was amazing. It was pretty much about a Ronin, like samurai-ish Jedi character. And there's a lot of twists and turns. If you get a chance, I'm definitely not spoiling this for you guys because they were all good. Me and Billy watched them and they were amazing. Mike, you might have seen some TikToks, you might have seen some commercials. What do you think about this, the style and then the way they approach the Star Wars thing? Because this kind of came out of left field.
As far as Star Wars go, I'm just happy that Star Wars, there's more Star Wars stuff.
Yes, thank God.
So I mean, I'll just leave it at that. Like, so, I personally haven't seen it, so I don't want to have an uneducated opinion about it. Mm. I know it's there. Been very busy. I've got weeks and weeks and weeks of things I need to be watching right now.
I'm with you.
You know, And speaking of things that we need to be watching, apparently the entire world is going buck wild over Squid Games on Netflix. Obviously, for those, I mean, if you've existed on the planet over the last 2-3 weeks, you know what this game is. Whether you've seen it or not, you at least know what it looks like or have heard the term Squid Games. Basically like murder games, more or less. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people die in these games. It's all about the money. And, but it's, you know, this, like, it's becoming such a phenomenon. And I think what's interesting, at least to say about it, is, you know, this movie or this show has been available for a pretty long time, but it was, like, I think it was blocked. Mm-hmm. Like, it couldn't get out from where it was originally supposed to be produced from. Mm-hmm. And then eventually Netflix picked it up. And I think there was even some rumor that Netflix might be being sued because of how popular the show is or something.
Yep.
I don't even know. Again, haven't seen it. I've just seen probably like the whole season's worth of TikToks about the show. I think it's definitely gonna be something I might sit down maybe next week and try out.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it. I don't know why my stigma is like people love, like, this. There'll be people like, Dave, you need to watch this show, and like it's all the craze and it's all everything.
Right. Because I mean, like, a couple years ago, it was Tiger King, yeah, right? And like that. I didn't watch that either. And it's like, but everyone was like, oh my god, you gotta watch Tiger King, and I was just like, I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like, mm-hmm. I mean this. This is like pop culture. This is like Pulp Fiction. This is like, you know, like Hunger Games-y with like this like murder game.
Yep.
It's okay. It sounds interesting. It sounds like I might give it a couple eps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, either it's going to grab me or it's not. But like, I can't. All right, I'll ask you this because I know you haven't seen it either. Have you at least seen Red Light, Green Light. So like, obviously that reminds me, takes me back to being a kid running in like a gymnasium, like with like a gym teacher being like, red light, green light, you got to run across the whatever. Mm. But the fact that if you're still moving when they catch you, you just get shot.
Dude, the amount of TikToks I've seen, like the spoof of it, I've been dying at night. Like some of that stuff is ridiculous.
But yeah. But on top of that, like I don't know where it is. I haven't been able to find it. I don't think it's on Steam. But there is apparently a video game that you can play in VR, and it's the Red Light, Green Light game from Squid Games. Mm-hmm. And you gotta try to run, and then and it says like green light or red light, and you gotta stop. And if you're moving still, then you get shot. And I don't know if they have a non VR version of it, but like I feel like I'd want to try the game. Like I feel like I'd give it a go.
Yeah, they got a couple of them out right now. I've been seeing a lot of YouTubers playing it and putting it up. Some of them are a little buggy, some of them are a little but I get that, you know, it's popular right now, so a lot of people want to experience
right.
it in some type of media, but I don't know. Like Mike said, I might check it out sometime, either this weekend with my girlfriend, or we might check it out next week. I don't know. But like I said, it's always something, man. Like, there's people who are obsessed with it, but it's like you ask them a year later and be like, would you watch Tiger King again? And people are like, oh no, that show was just a fad. Like that's what I feel like with a lot of these shows that come out, they catch traction, everything else like that. I'm happy for the guy, because you're right. There's been a lot of rumors coming out. He said he's had this show since 2000. He has the show idea since 2014, and no one would pick it up. And then you know, he puts it out. He gets picked up by Netflix, of course, the biggest, you know, binge worthy streaming platform. If your show gets on there, there's probably like a 7 out of 10 chance that you're gonna blow up. People are gonna watch it, but you know, it's here and there. It's hit or miss. A lot of people are saying it's great. A lot of people are saying it's subtitles dubbed. What are you gonna watch it in? I don't know, but you know, it's dubbed for your boy because I hate reading. But you know, read kids. That's all I gotta say. Just read.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as shocking things that are coming out and taking the world by storm. They stomped on the toes of Nickelodeon All-Stars, as far as I've been hearing. That's been the rumor. But, Mike.
Yo. Yeah, so, if you existed anywhere in the gaming world, you've seen or at least heard the news about the new downloadable content for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. They finally did it. They are bringing Kingdom Hearts. the franchise to Nintendo, and in doing so, they are allowing Sora as a downloadable character for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Easily going to be like the number one pick by a certain generation of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I grew up, you know, I really enjoyed, I used to play a lot as the Mario Brothers. I like to play Roy or Marth sometimes. Link was always a fave playing that game, but only because, you know, those were the options available. You know, I don't know if you have any experience playing, you know, Smash or Kingdom Hearts specifically, but, you know, Kingdom Hearts for me, like, that was like a coming of age kind of tale for me back then. Like, I think I must have been, I want to say I was 13. You know, I had this game for the, I can remember, no, younger. I was in like the eighth grade of high school with a broken arm, and I can remember sitting in my house still being able to use the controller with my cast on and playing through that game. So like, I had to have been 12, maybe even 11 when the first game came out.
Yeah, you and have to, you know, how, like, 6 or 5, I remember.
Yeah, so like when a game came out that had Disney characters as well as Final Fantasy characters, like two fandoms that shouldn't really ever have its place together, mm-hmm. just absolutely rocked it. You know, getting into the Colosseum and the Hercules world, and you're fighting against Cloud, like that, or even like later on in the games when you fight against Sephiroth. I don't care if that's a spoiler; you should have played the game by now. The games have been out for almost like over a decade. But it's super cool to see Sora coming to the Disney realm, or to the Nintendo realm. Fun fact about Sora is the only reason that Sora's Keyblade is actually just a giant key. There's no sharp edges to it, really. I believe it's because Disney couldn't allow a character to have a physical weapon. They needed something a little more family friendly to bop enemies over the head with.
Makes a lot of sense. Definitely.
But you know, Kingdom Hearts is definitely a piece of my heart attached to it because of how much time I've played. But I'll be the first to admit I have not played Kingdom Hearts 3. I heard that it was good and trash in the same conversation, and I have such fond memories from 1 and 2, and I even played like 2.5 and 2.65, 11 and a half or whatever. There were so many different these Kingdom Hearts games that came out.
Yo, I gotta send you the one spoof. I think it's RDC World 1, but they did like a trailer where it was like, yeah, we're coming out with a new Kingdom Hearts game, and they're like sitting in front of the TV like, oh my god, it's happening. And it's like, we're coming out with Kingdom Hearts 2.999. And they were like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. Because all we ever wanted at the end of Kingdom Hearts 2 was a 3, because it just left you in, each game left you in such a cliffhanger. It's like, what's gonna happen? What happened to Mickey? What are these Keyblade? What are the Keyblade Wars? Mm-hmm. Like, what is this? Everything there were some real gems in those weird episodic games. There was one I can't even remember. It came out on the PlayStation. What was the PlayStation handheld? The PSP. Yeah. It came out on the PSP. It came out on an exclusive PSP. I think I bought the bundle when it came out. Mm-hmm. And you weren't Sora, I don't think, but you were someone else that, like, I guess existed during the Keyblade Wars, and you had this like mech suit kind of thing, like almost like an Iron Man suit, but you still had your Keyblade. And like, I don't know, that game was wild. It was good, wild. But anyway, bringing Sora to Super Smash, bringing it back to Smash.
Yeah, I think
it's super cool. Maybe a little overpowered, I don't know, but we'll find out.
We'll see. Like you said, you know, if I've had any experience, we played Smash religiously ever since I was young. Even when we were in college, we would go to my friend Demetrius' house. There'd be 8 of us playing. We'd have all the controllers, just tournament style, playing a lot. I will say, sad to say, I've never played Kingdom Hearts. Not because I didn't want to, but when I was younger, I didn't have a GameCube. I didn't have all those things. My friends did. My brother was pretty much PlayStation. And then eventually I got an Xbox for Christmas, and that was about it. So during that time, I want to say when I was like 15, maybe 13 to 15, a lot of the games were already out. The parts were already out. And I was like, eh, that's a lot to play through. You know what I mean? So I was playing more games where I could play through them. They're the first game of whatever, like Spyro, all them to
sure.
keep the storyline going. But they've seemed fun. My other friend CJ plays a lot of them. I've watched him play a lot of them. I watch streams of people playing them. It looks like a very fun concept and game. I've always loved it, just never played it, because I always thought it was cool. Just like Mike said, there's a guy walking around with a Keyblade sword with Mickey and all them just messing stuff up and Disney villains. But I need to get Smash back. I did sell it. I definitely want to buy it back and get these DLC characters because they got a lot of characters in there. And I do love Smash Bros. One of the superior fighting games, and you know I'm a fighting game person.
Absolutely. But I would love to see, because I mean, obviously, Super Smash is very tied to like the controller style of playing it, right? Yeah. Like people say that the GameCube controller was like the greatest Smash controller because of the C-stick. People will always hold on to their GameCube controllers just so they can play Smash. Yeah, right. But I would love, like, could you ever see Smash being played on a stand-up cabinet with like a Joy and like buttons or maybe like a second Joy and buttons? Like, do you think it's possible for them ever to cross it over to that kind of style?
I would say yes, only because they would just have to see joystick is just for the heavy hit, so you don't have a heavy hit button. In any other game, it's a heavy hit button, so you like press up in that button, you press over in that button to do left, right, up or down or whatever else like that. I think that's the only thing they would have to worry about. The blocking, of course, blocking would have to be a button. I think when you look at the arcade sticks, which I have one in my closet, but you have an arcade stick or a fighting stick, they have more than just four buttons or whatever. I think there's like either six or eight. So there's more on there that you can use as far as if you want to set a keybind to something, because you can keybind anything just like, you know, controllers. But I think they could definitely do it. I think that'd be wild. It'd be a wild arcade cabinet because it would have to be the newest one because it has literally every Smash character in it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if they do have something like that. A lot of arcades, like the bigger arcades, use.
I mean, I could see it just like having like a console or whatever in the cabinet with like two of like the GameCube controllers coming out. Like, I could see that for sure.
I think they could do the arcade cabinet with the stick, the joystick, and the buttons and stuff.
Yeah, would be like, I would love to see a custom build of somebody that's like, yo, I'm gonna make it happen. I'm gonna port it to like. I mean, maybe someone's done it. I mean, that's usually like the rule of the internet. Like, if you think of something, then the internet's already done it. But like, but yeah, super wild about that. But while we're in the, while we're talking about new content coming out, Battlefield 2042,
yeah.
I think is it? I think the beta is live. We've had some friends jumping into that. What do you think?
I think we are in, and we're not going to like probably stay too long on this, guys, because we haven't played the beta, but we've watched some streamers here and there. We've had our friends talked about it. I think we are in the best age of gaming of all time, and I'm going to say why. We have a lot of AAA games coming out, and as sad as it is, Cyberpunk kind of helped set this precedent, and I'm glad they did, where a lot of game studios, they come out with a lot of game studios didn't do a lot of betas. They would just drop the game, and it would just be a piece of crap, and then they would have to go back, fix it, and there'd be updates. But a lot of games are putting betas out now because of the Cyberpunk kind of, you know, method of they brought out a game, it's terrible, and they probably should have pushed it back, but they were like, oh, well, you guys wanted the game so bad, so they're kind of blaming the consumer. But a lot of people are saying the Battlefield beta is great. The game is not finished. And honestly, I think right now, the strongest thing for them to do, and they could do it, is either push it back to December or push it back to next year. And a lot of people would understand because you gave them that chance to play the beta and see what's wrong with the game. As far as the glitches, some of the settings are a little weird. The graphics are amazing, they said, but if you put them up high, it really is taxing on your computer, so they can maybe fix that a little bit too. And honestly, if I was them, I would wait. because we still have Call of Duty coming out. We have Halo coming out. New World is already out, taking over the world. Wait a little bit. Just push it back a little bit. Let these games kind of come out. You know, instead of having it skyrocket with all these other games and you're trying to struggle to get up there, let everything plateau and then release the game. I might play it tonight. We'll see. And definitely check it out. But a lot of people are, it's a little hit or miss, but it looks fun from what I've seen from Doc and Tim the Tap Man playing it. So, Mike, I know you've been hearing our friends argue back and forth in our group chat.
Yeah.
I know you're not a big, not too big of a first person shooter guy, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, it's my first person shooter love is always going to be Destiny 2. Absolutely love that game. But it doesn't even begin to compare to a Battlefield or a Call of Duty style. Closer I like playing is Apex Legends.
Yeah.
But even still, that's not even that close of a match to Battlefield and or Call of Duty kind of is. I've heard people say that this Battlefield game might be the Warzone killer. Mm-hmm. I think that wouldn't be hard to do. Just put out a game that's not 300 gigabytes. And I'm pretty sure you can kill that game.
Hackers, yeah.
Yeah, right, with no hackers and seemingly endless cosmetics to just spend your money on. Mm-hmm. Although I'm sure this game will have plenty of that.
Oh yeah,
most definitely. But what I want to touch on is betas, man. Like, you're right, because I think if Cyberpunk needed to fail in order for so many new games to succeed.
Oh yeah.
Because like we talk about betas, you know, we've played the beta for Back 4 Blood. We played the beta for New World.
They pushed it back.
They ended up, they said after two betas, they had two or three open betas, mm-hmm, prior to the launch. And, they said, you know what? We need to push this back a month because there are things that we've discovered in the beta that we need to resolve before we take this live. Thank you so much for participating in the beta. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's so smart because imagine how life would be different if Cyberpunk had done betas to be able to give people like a heads up about some things so that even the design crew a heads up about some things that they needed to resolve. And that way there wouldn't have been that pressure to be like, oh, we just need to get the game, we need to ship the game, because had they done betas or open betas for that matter, maybe they did do closed betas. I don't know. But it wasn't like in the news or anything like that. So no. It's almost certain now, any AAA game that's coming out, mm-hmm, is likely going to have a beta if the game isn't already like an existing platform, if it's like just new content, you know, it might not do betas, but if it's like a brand new game in a franchise, betas for sure. Mm-hmm. Specifically on PC betas, just because it's just so easy to get like so much tests done prior to shipping a game that you're then responsible for financially. So, super cool. I don't know if I'm going to download Battlefield. If it's under 100 gig, maybe. But like, it's not that I have a gig problem or a storage space problem. I have like 2 terabytes or something, but like, it just, I don't know, like something about the efficacy of downloading a game that's like 400 gigabytes that just isn't worth that gigabyte.
Oh yeah, no, I'm with you on that, but I guess my final thoughts on the Battlefield beta is that how they're selling me to the game right now is we have so many different game modes. We don't really need a battle royale. So like Call of Duty just has multiplayer.
Yeah.
Battle Royale. Like this one, they said they have, and I keep mentioning it because I'm so excited about it, they said they have an Escape from Tarkov and a Hunt Showdown type
mode
in there. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Do we have to go in, rescue somebody, and like try and extract and get, like, that's kind of cool. And you get to make your character, maybe fix your guns up. They also have a one where there's a storm in it. The storm is just going around, tearing up the map. Like, there's so many different things in there, and it's such like a big sandbox first-person shooter game. I feel like, you know, maybe Mike, who knows, the terabyte, we'll figure it out with Mike, or the gigabytes, but I feel like Mike can hop in and have fun, and we're not sitting there sweating and breathing down each other's necks trying to make this have fun. You just die, you spawn, you come back, it's a big map, you have fun, fly a helicopter, whatever.
Right, so, that sounds cool to me, for sure. Like, I think I'm a little spent on Battle Royales. Mm-hmm. I like them, I have no problem with them, but I think it's... it's nice to just be able to, like, because, like, that's what I get in Destiny. Like, in Destiny, when you die, you just respawn.
Yep.
It's not like, ooh, back to title screen, load back in. Like, that shit just gets old after a while. And no props to anyone out there in the streaming world or gaming world that can just grind battle royales day in, day out, like it's nothing. But, like, yeah, it's nice to see something that's not that structure specifically. But the one mode I want to see, and maybe Halo is gonna come through with it, I don't know, is capture the flag. Like, I can remember, like, back in the days that's news to me, but that's amazing, because, like, I can remember back to Halo 2, and capture the flag was always so buck wild, because it was just, it wasn't just about killing each other. It was about moving an objective from one side to the other, just about capturing a zone. It was about physically working as a team to get something somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super cool. I would love to see Battlefield do something of that stature across a large map. That would be so cool.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Well, we got the beta out. Who knows what's going to happen now? We're coming in on the months of the thick of it for all these games that are coming out. But speaking of games, guys, and the spooky season.
Yo.
We have our resident person for DVD news, Michael Hart. Mike, take it away.
Yeah, as always, gang, I gotta bring you guys some Dead by Daylight news. I love the game. It's a game, it's kind of like my comfort game, which is weird to say because it's like a horror game. It's a game I like to play when I don't want to have to think too hard, because I know it so well. Yes, of course, spooky season is upon us. You know, Halloween is just a couple dips away. But, you know, Dead by Daylight is finally bringing a survivor to the game that has the ability to manipulate totems. So if you're familiar with the game, there are usually these several totems around the map. They're these little, like, skull, like, bone structures that the killer can have a hex on that usually provides the killer with a bonus against the survivors. But for the first time ever in the game, they are releasing a survivor, female survivor, redhead, named Michaela Reed. She's currently available to play in the P2B, player tested beta. She will be introducing what's known as Boon totems, BOON totems. To utilize these totems on the map to either provide healing bonuses or removing auras and scratch marks from fellow survivors as long as they are within a proximity range to that Boon totem. I think that's super sweet to finally, because, like, otherwise when you're a survivor, you have two options. You can either destroy dull totems and get 1,000 points. You can destroy hex totems and get 1,000 points. If you destroy the hex one, you get an alert. The killer knows where you are, yada, yada, yada. But there's always dull totems on the map because there are certain killer hexes that will either jump from totem to totem or just spawn randomly. And so adding a boon totem to the mix might, you know, it counteracts any kind of hex that would move a totem if it was, you know, destroyed or something like that. But either way, super excited for this. The release is coming at the big mid-chapter update. It'll be called The Hour of the Witch. So we're assuming that Michaela Reed has some kind of witch, maybe backstory of some kind. I couldn't find any specific date of release, but I know that the game resets every 13th of the month. Mm-hmm. And what better day than the 13th of October during spooky season to bring out The Hour of the Witch DLC, bringing out Michaela Reed. So I don't know. I'm excited. I've been playing quite a bit of Dead by Daylight in between grind sessions on New World. And because, you know, the recent DLC that came out, we spoke about with Hellraiser. It's been fun. It's been a good time. They added skill-based matchmaking to the game. It's good and it's bad for, you know, technical reasons. But if you're just a casual play, if you want to get together with some friends and have a fun evening, kind of almost existing inside of your own horror film, Dead by Daylight, it's not bad. I'll kind of put it there.
I think I'll check it out once we, because a lot of us have been wanting to play some scary games, and I think a lot of us want to play some, like, custom. We really do like custom Dead by Daylight games, because we all know the unspoken rule of, like, if I hit you, we get you on a hook, we move. Playing with Rams is a little different, but we always have a fun time with doing that. But guys, it's a lot of the news today. And we got a nice ad for you. We will be right back after this ad. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is David Graves, one of the co-hosts from the Humble Threads podcast. What's going on, Humble family? I wanted to take a second and reach out to you guys. We would love to hear from you. So recently we have made a Twitter. It is Humble Threads Pod, and the at is Pod Humble. If you would like to come in, ask us any questions. We might be doing some polls. Who knows? We would love to hear any questions from yo-yoing to comic books to real life to fantasy. Who knows? Also, if you would like, we do have our Gmail still. We understand that not a lot of people want to email us, but we have that. It's in the description if you want to do that, but this right here is for you guys, the Twitter. So please come in, follow us on Twitter, ask us some questions, whatever it may be, we'd be happy to answer them on air. We'll catch you guys later. Stay humble. We'll see you soon. Guys, welcome back. Me and Mike have asked some questions this week. I don't know. I asked a lot of questions to you guys. Feel free to DM your questions to us. I know the algorithms as far as social media kind of make it hard for us to see your questions sometimes. I know I asked a question on Instagram, but I think that was Wednesday. If you guys did ask some questions to me, I'm sorry. I do not see them, but I'll try to keep a better track of them. But I figured since it is October, maybe me and Mike can go down the spooky trail here. The King's Crypt for spooky stories, if you will. We can talk about some paranormal experiences that have happened to us, people we know, or maybe some stories that we've heard as you know, we go into this season. If you guys have any stories, if you have any cool things you want to bring up, have any things you want to tell us, you can always DM me and Mike. I'm David Graves on Instagram. Mike, of course, is Michael Hart on Instagram. You can always email us to, I believe, at humblethreadspodcast@gmail.com or humblethreadspodcast@gmail.com. It's all in the show notes. Feel free to send some stuff over. While we're getting together here, Mike, if you want me to go first, I can go first and tell you a little crazy story. Or if you want to go first, you can tell us a little crazy story.
I could kick it off. As far as going into the King's Crypt for some spooky stories, I haven't had too many spooky experiences myself with like the paranormal or anything like that. Like one time I think I saw like a UFO in the sky, but that's not really what we're talking about.
Oh, you can do that.
If it's
the same thing.
I do remember, like, I don't know, it's not a very good story, but I used to be like a camp counselor or like a counselor in training or something at a camp out on the Chesapeake Bay, and there was always this like campfire story about they called him the hermit that lived at this camp, kind of very like Jason-esque. Mm-hmm. But there was like a really like run down creek, like pond in the middle of the woods of this camp. It definitely like very much like the camp that from Friday the 13th. But you know, and the idea was that the hermit would come out of the hermit was like he was burned or something, and he dove into the pond to like when he was on fire, and he like died of drowning or something. And he would come out at night, and if you were out caught, you know, traversing the camp at night, whether you were up to no good, trying to go over to the girls' cabins or whatever, they would say that the hermit would come get you and drag you back into the water and drown you or some nonsense. But like, it was more, you know, it was just like a fun way for counselors to tell sleep, because it was a sleepaway camp, right? So you were there for like 2-3 weeks or something. Gotcha. And it was a way of just, you know, getting kids to be like a little nervous about sneaking out. But I don't know, I mean, like, I actually got to see the pond that they had the story about the hermit. And it was definitely like eerie, like you could have filmed like something spooky back there. Like it was like your quintessential like horror film pond in the middle of the woods, where there's like a little wooden like walkway that you'd walk out. And then there was like almost an overturned sinking canoe out in the middle of it, like ivy growing everywhere, overgrown, not obviously been abandoned of use for many years or some stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I would love to hear if you've got something like obviously real. Would love to hear a story from you.
But I kind of want to hear a little tidbit of the UFO story. I'm a little curious about the UFO story.
Oh, I mean, it's very mundane, I guess. Like, I was driving down a very familiar bypass in our area, coming home from. This was years ago when I used to play in a band, and I just look up in the sky, and it's probably like, I don't know, like 3 a.m. or something. So like, it's late. It was after a show. Like you don't usually see like planes in the sky at 3 a.m. At least not typically. Sure, red eyes and stuff like that. So like, but I mean, sometimes if it's dark enough, you could see like, you know, satellites going across. So you can usually like figure out what's what. And you can, and obviously when you're looking at planes in the sky at night, usually if you're looking for like a blinking lights on the wings usually gives it away that it's a plane and nothing else. But what I saw was 3 lights in the sky, like as if, but these lights were bigger than like a normal light of a plane at night. Like I've seen, you know, you see planes at light that you can see like the head beams and the wings blink. These were just like 3 balls of light about as high up in the sky as a plane should be or would be, like very high up. And they were in like a triangle formation, as if like each end of the triangle was a ball of light. But what really screwed me up as I was looking at it, I was like, huh, like that's weird. Like, you know, it's like that's suspicious. Like, what's that? Like, and then I looked away and I, you know, to obviously pay attention to the road ahead of me. And I happened to like just glance back over my shoulder to where I was seeing it, and the formation changed. It was no longer a triangle, but a solid row. So like it was now just like 3 like a stoplight, like 3 like lights in a row that were then moving in the same direction. And it's like unless it was like an optical illusion or something, like the lights to me clearly shifted from a triangle formation to a straight line formation. Jeez. And but they definitely seemed like they were individual objects. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We live in the Northeast of the United States, and so like our area is not like specifically known for like UFO or UAP or whatever. Or any of that kind of stuff. So I do have a picture on my phone. But and I can send it to Dave afterwards. Maybe I can post it to Twitter. I don't know. But like, it's in perfect historical sense of taking photos of UFOs. It's not a good picture.
He has the Nikon camera that he accidentally dropped in the toilet.
No, it was like an iPhone 6 camera or something. But like, because I'm driving, it's hard to like get it to focus. So it's like, I've had people be like, yeah, man, that's just like rear headlights in like flashing on your window or something. Like, I don't know. It still kind of creeps me out. But that would probably be like the spookiest experience that I've personally engaged with.
That is Mike's 2 stories. We really hope you enjoyed those. I have a good bunch of stories, but some of them I always think like, is it more or less like a spiritual thing or, you know, not saying like I've ever, I don't know. Like, I don't know if ghosts are coming to me to do something, but, I'll give you a couple, just cause we still got some time, guys. And, we kind of like to eat up some time during the end and give you guys some good content. But, the first story I would like to say is, when I was younger, I still am. And people will tell you that I was really obsessed with wolves, Native Americans, etc. And I went to a elementary school called Starkweather, if you guys have ever heard of that. When I first went there, and it was really cool. Like I said, I'm really obsessed with wolves. I'd always get pictures of wolves, books, everything else like that. Don't know what started that trend, but it was there. My mom has always told me I've always liked them. But I remember we had a playground, and my mom used to have to go to work early. So she would have to like drop me off early to school, like early for the before school program. So I've never taken a bus. I don't think I took a bus until middle school. Because a lot of these things have after school programs or before school programs. But I just remember it was one morning that was just like very, very foggy. We were outside and there's this massive hill that you can look down and then you see like a bunch of trees. It's just trees and tree line. That's it. There's some like a neighborhood all the way far down to the left, but it's kind of just all trees. I don't know why. Like, it's kind of weird to think about how many trees there actually were down there, which is kind of interesting, especially being in, you know, the neighborhood and in the region we are in, first of all. But I was just looking down there and I was just thinking, like, you know, it'd be kind of crazy. Like, I've been watching shows. It'd be kind of crazy, like, a wolf just walked past this tree line or something like that. Lo and behold, I just see, like, it wasn't a Siberian Husky. There was no person with it. There was no nothing. It was like a white and gray, it looked like a white and gray, like big wolf that just like his head was low and he walked past the tree. He walked in the tree line and then went back in. And I remember looking like, holy shit. I was like, first of all, I don't want to ever go down there because I always thought it'd be cool. Like, oh, what if I go down there and it's like a wolf or something like that. But being that young, I've never had like I would say my imagination wasn't going too crazy until like maybe later on in middle school when I really liked to get started getting into art. But I remember seeing that and always being like, holy crap. Because I looked at it and was like, that probably should not be here. But you, as far as like as stories go, a lot of people have been listening to podcasts. A lot of people always say there's been weird animal sightings all over the place. I remember this one guy, I think he said in Ohio, he saw a black panther. They're not there. They're not supposed to be there, obviously. Guys, you know, they're usually in jungles of sorts. A lot of people usually get exotic animals, such, you know, you can get a wolf pup, you can get a wolf dog, whether it gets out or anything else like that. It could have been that. Could have been a spirit animal. I don't know. I've took a lot of those tests and I've went to like things that they tell you what your spirit animal is. And they always say it is a wolf. And I do believe that, but seeing that was probably the creepiest and scary because it was just foggy. Like, it was weird. Like, it was so foggy and weird, but I could see this thing clear as day. I can still remember it. Like, the classic wolf walk, the head's low. It's looking, it's scouting around. But who knows? Was it someone's dog who escaped? I don't know. I don't know, guys. But that is my first story. My second story, I will leave you with this. I'll leave you with a UFO story just like Mike. This one was very, very creepy. At my high school, as much as any other high school, we're always going to football games on Friday nights, hanging out with people. I always hung out with my cousin. He lived up the street from me. We were like best friends. We still are really, really good friends. We would hang out all the time. So we were at the game. I think I was with my girlfriend at the time, my ex-girlfriend at the time or whatever, but we were just hanging out and it was me and him. And I remember there was a weird moment where it was just me and him standing, and it kind of, you know how you kind of get that like tunnel hearing where you like everything else just sounds like it's in the distance. And I look at him and he's looking at me and something just tells us to look up and we both look up and kind of like what Mike said, we see this like, I don't even know. It wasn't like it was a light. It was a big light and then like a cylinder and you saw it come down and then go back up. Like it came out of darkness and then faded back up. Like, it was so weird. And I looked back at him, and I was like, you saw that, right? He was like, yeah. What? I was like, what the? He was like, what was that? I was like, yo, I have no idea what that was, but did you get, like, a sudden urge that you have to look up? And he was like, yeah. So we're sitting there, we're telling everybody, we're telling our friends, and no one decided to look up. I don't know why no one decided to look up. And a lot of people always say, when you see a UFO, they always disperse those, like, red blinking lights in the sky. I don't know what those are. I think they... A lot of people say they're for when, people shoot missiles at us or something like that. They're supposed to be heat seekers for the missiles to hit that. But it wasn't those. I think it's just like when the government puts those up to like feel out what's going on up there. But everyone's like, oh, it was what's it called? The fucking, I forget what it's called. The thing that we put in the sky. What am I talking about? Jeez, what are we doing?
Weather balloon?
Not a weather balloon. Not like antennas or anything else like that. But the stuff we put up there as far as like cell phones and stuff like that. I am losing my train of thought.
Satellite.
There we go. Satellite. That's what I was thinking of.
Satellite?
Everyone's like, oh yeah, this is a satellite. Came down. I was like, why is there a big behind light on a satellite in space? They don't need lights. That doesn't make any sense. But It was kind of like, if you can kind of think back to Independence Day when the big ship just kind of like, it was just like a ship. Like it looked like a cylinder with light, like big light on it, came down, went back up and disappeared. And the fact that light could disappear that quick was very questionable, but that happened. I still remember that day to this day. I always talk to my cousin about it and we're like, yo, like we weren't into drinking. We're not into drugs or anything during high school or anything like that. But just that moment of like, blurred noise, looking at him, him looking at me, looking straight up, crazy. But those are my two stories, guys. Mike, I don't have any pictures though. I wish I had a picture of him, but during that time, I had the old, good old keyboard.
Oh yeah, yeah. Flipper. Yeah, yeah. I sent you the picture. I don't know if you want to do a hot take.
Let's get it live right here.
It's not a good picture, but I promise you, there's three big lights in a row, and then there was like a trailing light further back. I forgot about the other light. So there was four kind of like sections of lights moving independently.
Yeah.
It was
like,
weird.
It looks like even more than four, but it wouldn't be someone's rear view light. I don't know.
No. It was certainly, like, I you know, swear to anything that these were independently moving in the sky, and it was late. I don't know. Maybe we'll post this picture to Twitter and let you guys decide, let you guys kind of figure out what it is. I promise you it was not lens flare. It was not the rear view shining in my window or my mirrors. These lights were in the sky and they were moving rather strangely.
Well guys, you got our stories. UFOs, random spirit wolf, or a satellite with a light on it. I have no idea. Who knows, guys? But you're more than welcome to send stories into us. Like I said, the contact information and all that is in our show notes. So feel free to go on down there or just send it to me and Mike if you know me and Mike personally. If you don't want us to say your name, please let us know that. We will not do that, and we will make sure we keep your identity disclosed. It'd be amazing if we can get all these stories, and then our last episode in October, we don't have to read any like news to you guys or anything. We're just reading your stories for like an hour or so. So we'll keep reaching out. Maybe we'll post once a week, multiple times a week, see if we can get some stories from you. But guys, listen, we talked about me and Mike's life. I finally got the job. Crazy to think about. Still crazy to think about to me. It doesn't feel real. We went to the Ren Fair with a bunch of our friends. I went to Irish Weekend. Still a great time. If you get a chance to go down to Wildwood, it's something to experience. My clothing line sold out. I'm very, very thankful for you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mike went golfing with his dad, Papa Mike. They always go golfing. I love hearing the stories about it. The birthday dinner, Mike, of course, was celebrating his wedding anniversary and his wife's birthday. That was probably a very, 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 very busy week. Of course, we are too many games this Saturday. Feel free to come on up to us, say hi. Hey, man, if you want to write a spooky letter, just slide it to me and Mike. I don't know. Maybe we'll read it on here. Who knows? Mike has a week off from work. Who knows what we're going to see from Mike? I think he might surprise us next week. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not saying anything because I don't want to promise anything because I know it'll get some people excited. as far as our main topics, guys, we dove into New World. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. Check it out from one of your famous streamers or just a local streamer or a small streamer. See if you can get into it. It's a really good game. Get lost in it. I watched What If. Great, great show. I would say could have been a little better. 6 out of 10, like I said. Star Wars mini episodes, I say 10 out of 10. Great. Squid Games. Maybe we'll get to it. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's just one of them shows that have the hype around it, or it's actually a really good show with great writing. We'll find out. The new DLC coming, or DLC character coming to Super Smash Bros. Sora. Let us know how you like it. Send us some clips on Twitter if you really are a big Smash Bros. Fan and you're killing it. And he is actually a good character, not broken. Let us know. But the Battlefield beta, we've seen it. We haven't played it. We're going to play it. We'll let you all know how it goes maybe next time we record. Or if you would like, once again, always add us on Twitter. Let us know your true feelings about the game. And of course, we will definitely take that in consideration as far as will we play it or our opinion next time on the game. And of course, Mike coming in with the hot Dead by Daylight content. Of course, a new survivor that can affect the Boon Totems, which is very interesting to me. And not a lot of characters usually have any type of attributes that can do anything crazy like that. So maybe this is the start of a new for Dead by Daylight. Maybe I'll get back into it. And guys, of course, we talked about our spooky stories, the King's Crypt spooky stories. I really enjoyed that. We're definitely going to talk about it this month. Maybe we'll get into November. Send us your stories, please. We will read them. That would be a great episode if we could read all those stories on one episode. But yeah, guys,
absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and as always, gang, like we said at the top of the show, if you enjoy the podcast, please, please, please do us a huge favor. Hit up that Apple Podcast platform specifically if you could. You can leave us a 5-star, a 4-star, or whatever you think we're worthy of. But mm-hmm. but the better the review, the higher the chances that we will get shared and shown to more listeners to help build out this humble family.
Yes.
But as always, gang, you can find me, Michael Hart, on a lot of different platforms. Kingpin Caribou on most of them. MikeHart.yoyo on a couple others. ThrowLab on YouTube. And Kingpin Caribou over on Twitch. But, you know, I don't know. I'll leave it right here. I post some. I posted. If you can find my, if you go to my private Twitter, I posted something today. I am not responding to anything on it just yet. It's there. Go look at it. Feel free to comment. Feel free to speculate. But that's all I'll give you for now. Graves, let the good people know where they can find you.
Guys, I'm excited. We'll see what happens. Who knows what will happen next week, especially now that I'm working from home. Who knows? But once again, guys, you can find me with David Graves on a lot of my social media, or King Graves as far as a lot of my streaming stuff. And I'm pretty sure my Instagram is still KingDougie13. Will I change it? Who knows? I have no idea if I'll ever change it. I need to, so make it for you guys easier to find us. But once again, guys, our shirts are available. The merch is available. It's in the show notes. It's on the social media. We've been plugging it. Feel free to come by, get a shirt. Not that expensive. Support the show, and definitely helps us out in the long run, and we'll be dropping some stuff very soon. Guys, stay spooky, stay ghouly, stay creepy, stay humble.